Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Thank you, Father, for us being here together tonight. Thank you for your love. Yeah, thank you for what you've given us and that we can just get to know you a bit more tonight, Lord. Thank you that we can go deeper and that we can find more truth, which will lead to more freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Now tonight I want to start off with it's not a spoiler alert, but it's more of a disclaimer. When I worked at ShopRite, I would take someone through a store, and before we go into the store, I said, just pause for a moment, because the way you've seen and experienced shopping is never going to be the same again. Because I'm going to show you all the things that's placed there for you not to notice them, but I'm going to point them out to you. And then next time you're going to go into the store, even by yourself, you're going to see those things. You're not going to see what you used to see, because that's what happened for me. And tonight, I want to give you that disclaimer. I trust that after tonight's message, you're going to see something different. You're going to see something you've maybe never seen before, and you'll never go back to where you come from. You'll never go back to the way that you've seen it before tonight. And what I want to show you is a bit more of Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who is this person? Who is this being, this God, Son of God, that we worship, that we live for, that we live because of? If you were here last week, you've seen the video of how he impacted eternity, but also centuries, generations, nations. He impacted everything that we know. He impacted our calendar. There's a reason that we're in the year 2017 today. That reason is Jesus. There's a reason we have Christmas and Easter. Those reasons are Jesus. There's a reason that things happen the way they do. There's a reason for hospitals and all of that. But who is this person? Who is Jesus? And if you want to get to know someone, you need to ask a few questions, and you need to ask in different places. If you need to know why and what happened at this crime scene, you start asking questions. You start looking at videos and what did he say about what happened and what did he say. And if the person is still alive, hopefully, then you ask them, who do you say you are? What do you say happened here? And I want to go and ask a few questions. First of all, let's ask, who does the Bible say that Jesus is? I don't know about you, but I think that's a good start. Who does the Bible say that Jesus is? Matthew 16, from verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now, this is just a very stupid answer for me personally. Jesus says, I'm Jesus, who do you say that I am? And they start naming names. And none of those names are Jesus. They don't say you are Jesus. They say you may be Jeremiah, you may be Elijah, you may be John the Baptist. But it's like, if he had a name tag, it would have read Jesus. So how can, like, guys, can't you read? I'm not them. I'm someone else. They spoke of me. They saw me coming. And maybe that's why they got to that. They realized, but what they are seeing, they've heard before. What they are seeing in front of them, John the Baptist pointed to. What they are seeing happening is ringing true in their hearts, but it's also something like, almost like a deja vu, because, yeah, I've heard this. Someone said this is going to happen. Who said that? But just because Elijah and Jeremiah said it's going to happen doesn't mean that it was them. And it doesn't mean it was them in the flesh, because it was Jesus. As I said, to me, this was a very weird answer. You cannot answer that. Jesus, in his gracious way, he moves on swiftly in Matthew 16:15. He said unto them, but whom say you that I am? He says, okay, the people say, Jeremiah, John the Baptist. Jesus doesn't say, you're wrong. He just goes on very graciously. He says, okay. Obviously that's wrong, I think. He winks at them or something. And he's like, okay, but who do you say? And Peter, obviously, he jumps up first and he says, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus actually goes and he says, yes, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven did. And on this I will build my church. You see, if we don't know who Jesus is, we might be building on the wrong foundation. We might be going in the wrong direction because we're not starting off with the true revelation of who Christ is. Because on that revelation is how we build kingdom, how we build church, how we build relationships, and how we relate to God. If you don't know who someone is, how do you relate to them? If I don't know who my wife is, how do I relate to her? But now as I get to know her after 5 years in marriage, I sort of know when is a good time to ask something, when is a good time to bless her, when is a good time to wake her after a nap. Because you get to know those persons, so life becomes more enjoyable, you become more intimate, and you become to know each other more and more. So we're building a relationship on the knowledge of each other. Because from that point, we don't have to go through learning curves. We can start up straight. And the church, for one, has been through many, many learning curves. And I think it's time that that stops. I think it's time that we build on the blueprint that God gave us, on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and we go and we change the world. There's enough bypasses and enough restarts that we've had in 2,000 years. I think it's time that we get to know the Word, we get to know God, we build on the foundation of Christ, and we go and we change the world once and for all. And then we need, for that, we'll need to know who Jesus is. Another way to ask or to find out who someone is to ask them. So who did Jesus say that he is? In Matthew 16:20, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. He's like, Jesus the Christ. My name is Jesus. My title is the Christ. The anointed one, the Messiah, the special one. The one that you were waiting for, the one that they prophesied of, the one that's going to change not just Israel, but it's going to change the world. The Redeemer, the one that will deal with sin once and for all. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is who I am, because God is in me, because I'm anointed. You see, he gave many hints of who he was. In Luke 4:18, he quotes Isaiah 61 and he says, for this reason I was anointed, to proclaim good news to the captives, to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. This is who I am. This is who was prophesied of. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is not just my name, but this is the person that I am. This is the purposes that I have. And this is why I came. This is what I love. And this is what I do. Again, the question is, who did Jesus say that he is? John 14 verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Again, that's a very big statement. If someone believes in God and you take some of that focus and you say, you believe in God, you can also believe in me. You're putting yourself on the same level. But that is what Christ is. That is what the anointing is. It is God inside of us. Colossians 1:27 says that this is the hope of glory. Christ inside of you. Christ inside of me. Christ inside of you. Each and every one of you. That is the blueprint on which we build. This is how we live. Because Christ is inside of us. And all that he had and all that he gave is now mine. In verse 2 he says, my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So this is very important. If you want to go somewhere, you need to plan. Now, these days with GPS and Google Maps, we don't plan enough. We just get in the car and we put it in and then we go and then we get lost sometimes because there's not enough signal, or we haven't planned, or we just follow this thing blindly and hasn't been updated. I did it yesterday. I just got in the car, Google Maps, and there's new one ways that Google Maps doesn't know of yet. So I look like a bit of an idiot with three people behind me and we go zigzag through a lot of houses. At one stage I said, okay, let's just stop and open the window and just point somewhere. Then they think we're on purpose, but we didn't do that. We just moved on. Where you go is very important. That's the most important. But how you get there is quite important as well. Because if you don't know how to get there, you'll never get there. So Jesus says, you know where I'm going, but you also know the way. You know where I'm going, but you also know the way. In your life, God has shown you maybe where you're going, but he's also shown you the way. And if he has. If you haven't listened, just go ask again. But he's shown you where you're going, and he's shown you the way to get there. Because the way is very important. If you don't have the way, you won't get to where he wants you to take you. Now Thomas, the infamous Thomas, the voice of reason Thomas, the Thomas that likes to question things, that likes to see things, he likes to to taste things, and he wants to feel things, and he wants to have that voice of reason. He says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus says, you know where I'm going, and you know how I'm going to get there. And Thomas is like, no, if we don't know where you go, how do we know how we get there? In verse 6, Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You see, Jesus said, you know me, therefore you know where you're going, and therefore you know the way. Thomas did not understand this, so he asked a question. No stupid questions, okay? If Thomas did not ask that question, we would never had Jesus, not never, the chances are that Jesus might have never have said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because if you read it, it is the answer to Thomas's question. He says, Thomas, you know where I'm going and you know how to get there. Thomas says, I don't. How would we know? Jesus answers and he says, I am. First clue. Remember, we're looking at who is Jesus. Jesus answers and he says, I am. Don't know about you, but I've heard that before. I've heard that in Exodus 3:13. It says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Now God gives Moses a job, and Moses says, sorry God, if they ask who sent me, Moses, does it really matter who sent you? You're going to lead the Israelites out of the slavery into the promised land. But the most important thing on Moses' mind is who sent me. It's also a good thing because then he knows where his strength lies. He knows where his identity comes from. He knows he's not operating in his own power. So when we pray in the name of Christ, in the name of Jesus, we're not operating in our own power, but we operate in a higher power. If you've ever worked in a corporate job and you say the CEO said this must happen, fill in the blank, it usually happens very quickly. But when we pray in the name of Jesus, we don't take it as serious. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you're actually telling that situation, that person, that sickness, that lack, listen, sorry, Jesus said this must happen. So get it done. Sickness, get out. Jesus said leave. In the name of Jesus, leave. Lack, sorry, Jesus paid. So in the name of Jesus, Jesus actually said that this must go. Prosperity, Jesus said, in the name of Jesus, prosperity come. Because Jesus became poor, I can be rich. Why am I to be rich? To impact the world with the gospel. To bring the covenant which God has with his children. Next time you pray in the name of Jesus, think about that. Think about the power, the authority that you have. When you speak to that sickness, you're actually telling that sickness, I wasn't there, but Jesus was. Jesus was there at the whipping post. Jesus actually paid so that you are here today, illegal, in my body. So I don't know about you, but Jesus just phoned and he said, go. I'm not coming in my power. In the name of Jesus, leave. Because why? Because he paid for it. That's the authority which we have. That's how we operate. That's how we change the world. And how we love people. Jesus says, I am. Exodus 3:14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. God's never changed. God is the same always. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent you. So Moses asked God, what is your name? God says, I am that I am. It's like, I think Moses is like, are you going to give me more? Like, is that your name? And God says, tell them, I am has sent you. So you don't come in your own power, you come in the name of I am. That's what Jesus did. He says, I am. Verse 15 says, then God said moreover to Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. This is my name. I am that I am. I am the Lord. So the name of God as I am, the title of Jesus is the Lord. Now if you want to go into Google Forms or you want to fill in a form, and the Lord is usually not there. Because Jesus took it. So the next time you want to fill in the Lord, sorry, it's not for you, it's for Jesus. But make him Lord of your life. Invite him into your life and that authority. Now you can start using his name. Because why? Now he's inside of you. Christ is inside of you. That is the hope of glory. You cannot change the world without Christ. You cannot have hope without Christ. You cannot have glory, true glory, everlasting glory, the goodness of God type of glory without Christ. For Christ in you, and in you, and in you, and in you, and in you is the hope of glory. There's so many people on earth because there's so many facets to God. There's so many different ways and personas and personalities in which He tries to show us, this is who I am. When someone maybe phones for Life Group and says, listen, sorry, I can't make it tonight. I'm like, you're going to miss out. But we're going to miss out too. Because you bring something. You bring a revelation. You bring a new way. You bring God. Because Christ inside of you brings hope and glory in those situations. You were maybe the one that had to pray for someone that night. Maybe the leader didn't have the true revelation of what happened. So we're a body together. We're together as family. That is why, welcome home. Welcome to family. Welcome to Grace Life. We're doing things together. We can't do it on our own. It's not about one. It's not about two. It's about all of us. Because Christ is in all of us. Who is it that sent me? I am. Isaiah 42 verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will not go to another, neither my praises to graven images. This is my name. I am the Lord. So who did Jesus say that he is? I am. I am that I am. I am the Lord. If Jesus is Lord of your life, you're saved. The word says, make him Lord of your life and you'll be saved. Because he is Lord. Give him that title. Don't try and do it yourself. John 14:6. He says, I am three things. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. There's a few profound answers to the questions in your heart, to the questions of the world in that statement. What is life? What is the way to life? What is the way to live? What is the way to greatness? What is destiny? What is purpose? What is success? How do we get there? How do we obtain it? Go onto Facebook and you can pay a lot of money to get a lot of answers on those questions. What does success look like? How do I get there? 10 steps to freedom. 8 steps to success. 10 steps to your wealth. What is steps? Steps is on a way. They're taking you somewhere. They want to get you to the end. Have I got good news for you tonight? But we'll get there in a moment. Let's unpack this. Let's start with the way. What way? Jesus says, I'm the way. What is the way? Where's the way going? It's the way to the Father. It's the way to God. This is exactly why all religions cannot lead to heaven, because God is in heaven and Jesus said that He is the only one that can take you there. If Jesus is the only one that can take you to the Father, I don't need to explain that, people. Jesus said, I'm the only one that can take you to the Father. That settles it. That settles Hare Krishna, Buddha, Muhammad, Scientology, money, universalism. That settles it. That you need, like Andrew says, you need to have someone to help you to misunderstand it, because Jesus said, I am the only way to the Father. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to heaven. He's the way. Only Jesus. Now, Jesus himself speaks about two ways. He speaks about the straight and narrow and the broad and the wide. Matthew 7:13-14. Jesus says, enter you at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many be there which go therein. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, this is now what I told you. I'm going to show you something. You're never going to see it the same again. We're there now. So, I don't know about you, but I've seen this, and you can put the picture up, please. I've seen this in homes. I've seen this on the internet. I've seen this in many different areas. But most of all, I've seen this in thinking. And this is where it's the most powerful, and it's called the smalle weg and the brede weg. It's actually a picture of two ways, two roads. Now, if you're on the right, my right, your right as well, you're going to the city of gold. And if you're on the left with all the fun and the parties and the people, you're going to destruction. Now, any good Christian would want to be on the boring way. the narrow-minded way, the not-so-fun way, the not-so-cool way, the not-so-powerful way. Because why? Fear of hell. So a lot of people have this thinking, I want to go to heaven, but not now. So I'll take my chances, I'll play the odds, I'll take the gamble that maybe I'll get cancer. Because you see, cancer is a good thing in a sense that you have time to make right with God. But if you're scared like I was and fearful, you don't want to take that chance because you might just die in a motor car accident and then you don't have time to cross ways. You see, the interesting thing is there's a few bridges so you can move back and forth. I don't think it works like that. I don't think that's the way Jesus explained it. But we like this because we can understand it. We can try it. We can work for it. We can sweat for it. We can sacrifice for it. Now, I'm not one for fun. I'm on the straight and narrow. I'm not one for riches because riches are evil. No, riches aren't evil. Money isn't evil. What you do with money is either good or bad. But money itself is good because you can change the world with money. You see, I want to change the way you see the smalle weg and the brede weg. I want to change the way you see the straight and narrow. Because the way I believed it, I stand before you tonight and I believe it was wrong. And I'll show you why. First of all, to me, this is not good news. To me, this is not glad tidings of great joy. The left looks like glad tidings and great joy, not the right. But if we're living Christian lives, if we're living supernatural lives, if we're living without doctors, sickness, and all of those bad things, that is glad tidings, that is joy, that is prosperous, that is powerful, that is supernatural. That is where the cool kids want to be, in the back of the bus. You see, this is the back of the bus. This is where the cool kids do the wrong stuff, and then the wety-twety sit up front and look holy, because they're going to heaven. The world doesn't want that. And I don't blame them for it. But let's look at something more. Jesus says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. The word straight there, you can put Matthew 7 up again as well. Just check my spelling there. It is not S-T-R-A-R-A-I-G-H-T. It's not straight like that. It's straight. S-T-R-A-I-T. It's a different word than what we think we read there. It's a different meaning. There's something else there. Now, I get excited if I see things like that because I go dig for gold. I go dig and see what God has for us there. The word straight is histemi, the Greek word. It says to cause or to make stand, to place, put, to bid, to stand by, to set up in the presence of others, in the midst, before judges or before members of the Sanhedrin. And I quote verbatim to you from the Thayer Greek lexicon. So I'm not making anything up tonight. I'm just quoting exactly what I got in the Thayer's Greek lexicon. I'm going to read it again. To cause or to make, to stand, to set up, in the presence of others, in the midst, before judges, before members of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is the Supreme Council of the Jewish people. Okay, that is the word straight in Greek. Narrow is the next word that Jesus uses to describe this way. It's the word narrow, which is thilbo. It means to press as with grapes. To press hard upon, narrow, straightened, contracted. Metaphorically, it means to trouble, afflict, or distress. Crush. That's what it means. Narrow. How do you create a road, a narrow road? If you use the right word, it's a compacted road. I've been to Namibia, and some roads there, they don't tar. They roll salt. Now, if you get the sun in the wrong day, time of day, it's horrible because it glares. But it's actually solid because it's compacted. It's pressed together. It's a strong road, and this is the road that Jesus talks about. But interesting, when I read about grapes, narrow road and grapes. So what do you get if you press grapes and you compress them? You get wine. What do you get if you compress bodies? You get blood. Jesus used grapes and wine as a picture of his blood that was to be shed. 1 Corinthians 11:25 says, after the same manner also he took the cup. What was in the cup? Crushed grapes, wine. He took the cup when he had supped, saying, this is the cup in the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So what did I tell you? When we get narrow, compressed, contracted, troubled and afflicted and distressed grapes, we get wine. And when that happens to a body, we get blood. And Jesus says, I have a new way. And this way was bought with, sealed with, signed with blood. You see, if you talk about blood, it can be very romantic. But you don't just get blood. You need to be either cut or crush or hit. Now think about what Jesus went through. A crown of thorns, beaten to an inch of his death almost, nail-pierced hands, a lot of blood, a lot of crushing, a lot of compacting, a lot of blood. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. See, if you're on the straight and narrow, you're trying to be goody-two-shoes, you're trying to make it your own way, you're trying to get there with good works, great intentions, you're not bold. You're usually bent over because you're never good enough. Because you can try your best, you can do all things right, but if you slip up once, it's not good enough. So there's never that boldness. There's never that, listen, God, I'm home. Daddy, I'm home. Get there, put your feet on the table, relax with God. No, you're fearful because God is going to check you. He's going to zap you. He's going to find out. He knows. God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I did this. Now, the problem with all of those is what if happens if you forget to say sorry for one thing? Okay, it's okay if you're 5 years old because there's one thing. But now you get to where I am, 30 years old. There's a few things that you've forgotten along the way. So, and then we just say, forgive me of all my sins. And God's like, I thought I sent a lamb. His name was Jesus. John the Baptist pointed to him specifically and said, there is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. How? By dying on a cross, by spilling his blood, by giving us a new covenant, by giving us more. Now we enter boldly in the holiest by the blood of Jesus. How? Verse 20, beautiful, it all comes together. By a new and living way. Not by the old way. The two ways, the good and bad way, the weighing it up way. No. Jesus came to bring a new way and a living way by the blood. You see, he died and spilled his blood, but he rose again. Therefore, that way is not dead. It is living, but it is also new, which he has consecrated for us. How did he do this? How did he put this into place? Through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. His flesh was crushed, his flesh was torn, his flesh was pierced. Why? Because he had a better way, a new way, a living way for me and for you. A better way, a new way, a living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Now, if I stepped on your toes with the smalle weg and the brede weg, let's go back there. Let's look at these words from a perspective of Jesus giving us something new, giving us something living, giving us something eternal, paying for it with his blood. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, enter you at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go therein at. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Why do many people enter at the straight gate? Or few people? Why do few people enter at the straight gate? Because only a few submit to Jesus as Lord. Most all others want to try and do it themselves first. I also did. I don't blame them. But that's not nice. Because you don't get there. You never do. You just go down, 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 down. But Jesus says, I have a new way, I have a living way, paid with blood, forever, yours. The word straight, as I said, S-T-R-A-I-T. If I looked up the word, if you have a water channel, think about agriculture in the old days, before pumps and spilpinta and all those things. They had a water channel, and they would have a little wooden gate. And if you lift the gate, the water flows. If you close the gate, the water stops. The word straight is exactly that gate. What did Jesus do? He hung on a cross, wooden cross. There was a block in the flow of life between man and God. He died on a cross, a wooden cross. And as he died, he went up. And the water now flows freely to all. You see, the old way was the straight and narrow way which leadeth unto life. It goes somewhere. Where's it going? It's going to life. But how do I get there? I get there by the way. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So if you find Jesus, you find your destiny, you find the end. You don't get there in 8 steps, 10 steps, 1,000,000 steps. You have it. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. All in one. You start at the end because Jesus said, guess what? It is finished. He didn't say you're going to walk 100 miles and then find me and then another 100 miles and then you'll find life. That was the Old Testament. That was the knowledge of good and evil. But there's a new way. There's a living way paid with blood, the blood of Jesus, paid on a cross. Because Jesus says, I am the gate, John 10. I am the gate. What is the gate? The gate is straight. What does straight mean? Look at this. This is beautiful. The word straight is hestemi in Greek. It says to cause or to make, to stand, to set up. Where? In the presence of others, in the midst. Don't know about you, the picture I have in my mind of Jesus on a cross, he was in the middle, between two others. In the midst, before judges. Go and read the accounts of Easter. They were judges. Before members of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council. They are the very ones that made this come to be. They are the ones that hated him because they wanted to walk the straight and narrow and pat themselves on the back. Jesus said, I'm going to change that. There's a new way. There's a living way. We don't go towards life. We start at life. Why do we start at life? Because Jesus breathed out his life so we can breathe it in. We don't have to try and get life. We have it all. John 10:10, I come to give you life. I didn't come to give you the way to life. I came to give you life. There was a way to life. It was boring. It was difficult. Guess what? It was impossible. The Pharisees tried it. They thought they had it. Jesus said, sorry, guys. You see, that road is so narrow. It's just this wide. As far as the outstretched arms of Jesus on a cross. That's how narrow that road is. Why can I say that? Because it said, it's a straight way in the midst, amongst people, before judges. It is straight in that it is a wooden plank that's blocking the flow of water and the flow of life. In the New Testament, we have gushing forth living water coming out of us because Jesus paid it, because he settled it, because we're now there with God. Jesus said unto them again, John 10:7-9, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. The word door and gate is similar. Jesus says, I am this gate, I am this door. Be by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go and in and out and find pasture. The word narrow, narrow is the way. The Greek word philbo means to press as grapes, press hard upon, narrow, straitened, contracted, troubled, afflicted, and distressed. Didn't that Jesus, my Jesus, go through all of that for me? So that he could give me that life, which I so attain to, which I so strive for, which I'm looking for, on this way where I'm trying, this way where I'm trying to be good enough, bold enough, strong enough. Jesus said, I'll go through all of that. I'll become that. I'll become the straight and the narrow, which leads to life. So the way that I become it, I have become it, and now I give you the prize. Because the straight and narrow way leads to life, and Jesus says, I give you my life. Jesus said, they don't take my life, I lay it down. I lay it down so you can take it. John 14:1, Jesus says, or verse 6, says, Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This new way is life itself. It is God's way. It's a better way. It's an effortless way. It's actually called a highway. It's a higher way, but it's also a faster way because we have a world to reach with the gospel of the good news. We need the supernatural ability of Holy Spirit to get it done. We need the supernatural ability of Holy Spirit to do it in wisdom, without our own efforts, and to go for it. Galatians 2 speaks a bit about this truth. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We cannot attain to it. We cannot achieve it. We cannot buy it. We can only receive it. That which you are looking for, just receive it. It is yours. Don't strive for it. Don't go for it. Just receive it. And as you receive Christ Jesus, He is inside of you, and the hope of glory is now living inside of you. Abide in the vine. What comes through the vine? Life. Fruitfulness. Bearing fruit. Not working for fruit, bearing fruit. Do not conform to this world. This world conforms to two roads, the good and the bad. Conform to Christ. Conform to a higher reality, a godly wisdom. Conform to the free gift of Jesus Christ in you. The world wants to give you 11% for your money and they want you to be glad for it. 11%. I used to use this example, 8%. I drove past the billboard yesterday. They'll give you 11% now. They've woken up. Mark 4, my Bible, you can check it. Jesus says you will be fruitful. Some 30-fold, 300%. 3,000%, sorry. Some 60-fold, 6,000%. Some 100-fold. Don't take what the world is short-selling you. Don't walk their 10 steps, their 5 steps, their 8 steps, their million steps. Don't walk that. Live Christ. Because that is the hope of glory. That is the blueprint of success. That is the way the world will change, will get right side up. Because then we can love the world with the love that we first received. We sang the song, Hallelujah. What a beautiful way you've shown us. When I sang the song tonight, I sang it with a smile. Because I know that way. I know His face. I know His smile. I know His love. I know His name. I am. I know His title, the Lord. I know what He did for me. He became the gate and the way so I can have life. And then the second part thereafter sings, what a beautiful Savior. Because the way and the Savior is exactly the same. It is the person of Christ. It is for you. For free. I want you to stand to your feet and just get into a mindset of receiving. Just get into a mindset of receiving the life. Just stop trying to get there, but just receive it. And I'm going to read a prophecy out of Isaiah 35 that speaks about something that's going to change in a desert place, in a dry place. Before that, I want to just end off with a story. Jesus says, I am the gate. In Acts 3, Peter and John walks to the temple in a time of prayer, just like you are tonight. And they walk by the gate called Beautiful. To me, that's a picture of Christ. What a beautiful way. What a beautiful Savior. What a beautiful gate. The gate called Beautiful. You see, the Israelites wanted to get to the presence of God, the Holy of Holies, through a gate. They call that gate Beautiful. Jesus says you can enter boldly because I am the gate. I am the life. And what happens there? They see a lame man. Maybe there's areas in your life tonight that is lame. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's academics. I don't know what your exam preparation looks like. Maybe it's your business. Maybe it's your marriage. But Peter looks at the man and he says, I'm not going to give you silver and money. The world can give you that. I'm going to give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, in that authority, Because Jesus said it should be so. Because Jesus sent me to tell you that he wants this now. Because Jesus said that this is going to happen. Get up and walk. So whatever situation that is for you right now, just receive it. Just take it. Just get up and walk. Arise and shine, for your time has come. For the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise and shine, because Christ in you is the hope of glory. You're not attaining to life. You're not trying and striving for it. You have it. So now you walk on the way constantly because you've already received the end prize. You walk in Christ, you abide in him, and you live the life of abundance. You live the Zoe life of Christ. And there's just gushing forth out of you rivers of living water, impacting nations, impacting families, impacting your children, people around you, even your parents. See that desert change to a place of an oasis. People of the world will come to you and say, but why are you hopeful? What is wrong with you that you are smiling? What is wrong with you that you are still in this country? And you just point to Christ and you say, I have a reason for the hope, and the hope is Christ. I have a reason for joy, and the joy is Christ. I have a reason to live because I have found life. I have found the one that's called the way, the truth, and the life. Isaiah 35 says, the dry desert will rejoice. The desert will be glad and blossom. It will be covered with flowers and dance with joy. It will be beautiful as the forests of Lebanon, the hill of Carmel, and the Sharon Valley. This will happen because all people will see the glory of the Lord. They will see the beauty of our God. Those people that don't believe him right now, they'll see him and they'll know. Make the weak arms strong again. Strengthen the weak knees. People are afraid and confused. That is true. Say to them, be strong. Don't be afraid. Say it with boldness. Look, your God will come and punish your enemies. He will come and give you your reward. He will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened so that they can see, and the ears of the deaf will be opened so that they can hear. I trust tonight that your eyes were opened unto Jesus as the way, so that you can stop striving, stop going for it, but just receive it and enjoy it. Verse 6 says, crippled people will dance like deer at the gate called Beautiful. I'm adding that. And those who cannot speak now will use their voices to sing happy songs. This will happen when springs of water begin to flow in the dry desert. Thank you, Father, that the springs of water is flowing through our mouths. Out of our bellies are flowing rivers of living water. In the areas which we go, which we live, which we have our being, there will be oases where people will be drawn to this good news of Jesus Christ and the finished work. Of more than enough provision, more than enough payment for our sins, that we will lay aside the weights that is holding us back, and that we'll also lay aside the sin, as Hebrews says. That we'll move on once and for all with the sin issue and know that we are forgiven, that it is dealt with, and that we can now go and live in relationship and victory with you. I just feel strongly in my heart there's someone here who's still making a big issue of the sin in your past. Maybe it's not that distant past. I'm telling you tonight, God has forgiven you. I'm standing here and saying that he has open arms. He's welcoming you home. The moment you turn to him, he's already there. Don't look behind you. Look in front of you. Peter looked around him when he got out of the boat and he sank. He looked to Jesus and he walked. What was behind him was a boat, something he trusted, something that he maybe made even, fixed himself. But that is not what we trust in. We trust in Christ. Leave your baggage behind. For the Lamb of God has come and he's taken away all the sin of the world. Crippled people will dance like deer, and those who cannot speak now will use their voices to sing happy songs. This will happen when springs of water begin to flow in the dry desert. Now people see mirages that look like water, but then there will be real pools of water. There will be wells in the dry land where water flows from the ground. Tall water plants will grow where wild animals once ruled. There will be a road there. This highway will be called the Holy Road. See, Isaiah saw it. He saw it and he spoke about it. He called it a highway. He says, this is a holy road. Evil people will not be allowed to walk on that road. No fools will walk on it. Only good people will walk there. How can he say that? He can say that because the moment you enter in at Christ, you are holy, you are consecrated, you are lovely. That's why only holy people walk there. Because the moment you honor it, you're holy. There will be no dangers on that road. There will be no lions there to hurt people or any dangerous animals on it. That roaring of the lion, it's a lie. My Bible says there will be no lions on that road. That road will be for good, the people God saves. The Lord will make His people free. They will come back to Him. They will come into Zion rejoicing. They will be happy forever. Their happiness will be like a crown on their heads. Gladness and joy will fill them completely. Sorrow and sadness will be far, far away. Don't you just receive that tonight? Doesn't that just stir a freedom in you of a good Father that is caring for you, that is loving you, that's saying, I've made a new way, I've made a new living way, and I've given it to you. Now you just walk in it, you dance in it, you rejoice in it, you sing in it, you're happy on it. You're there with me. Just focus on that and just receive it. See yourself dancing on a higher way, a new way, a living way. Dancing with the Father, you're dancing with Christ. You're living a life of purpose. You're making a difference. You're getting up in the morning with a smile because you're not held back by grief. You're not held back by sadness. You're not held back by sorrow. You're not held back by condemning thoughts. You are as free as a bird because you've been made holy. You sing and you dance and you joy because all the life you will ever have, you already have that. You have a ticket into the throne room of grace and you can enter into any time you want. If you wake up and you realize, Ephesians 2:6, that you are seated in Christ in heavenly places. Not something where you go, it's somewhere where you abide, you stay there. That's your address. Well, thank you, Father, for good news. Thank you for glad tidings of great joy. Thank you for peace between man and God. Thank you for Christ that's become unto us the straight and the narrow so that we can live in abundance of Zoe life. Life to the full. Life the way you planned it. The way you designed it, the way you spoke it into being. Thank you for forgiveness and freedom. I thank you that we can be those pools of water, those oases, the cool kids on the block that the world is drawn to because we influence with life. We are salt and we are light. We bring forth what you said in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we walk like that. We talk like that. We live like that. Not in the name of the world, but in the name of Jesus. If you have anything in your life that's holding you back right now, just tell it. In the name of Jesus, go. You have that authority. He gave it to you. He said, if you will pray anything in my name, I will give it unto you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that we can live in freedom. And we can live in just freedom from fear. Because fear brings torment. And fear is not from you. If you have fear in your life, just tell it in the name of Jesus, go. And as you see that gap opening up where fear used to sit, just allow the perfect love of God to fill that right now. Just let that light gush forth. Let water come in. And as the water come in, the old, dirty, rotten things just go out. It's just flushed out. And the water in your heart is crystal clear. It's like a pool of light. The Word said that it will look like mirages of light, but then there will be true life. There will be true water. There will be pools of living water. Out of your belly will flow forth this living water. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. Christ, the hope of glory, is right inside of you. That is your identity. If people ask you who you are, I have Christ inside of me. I am the beloved Son of God. I'm the beloved daughter of God. I have got Christ inside of me. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm the light of the world. I'm the salt of the earth. I walk, I operate in the name of Jesus. I'm only an ambassador here. There where I come from, we have 30-fold, we have 60-fold, we have 100-fold. There where I come from, we walk in victory, we walk in health. We are more than conquerors because we are sons and daughters of the living God. Our provision is not of ourselves, it is of God that gives us the power to get wealth. Thank you, Father. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.